The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother-of-pearl. The handle unmarked. But the gun has killed and the man has killed. People call them both the six-shooter.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Gunsmoke and the Six Shooter for our Western Wednesday. Tonight's episodes are pretty different. We'll just go into it really quick. On Gunsmoke, the episode no longer exists that is called Jailbait Janet, but if you go back, it was rebroadcast, re-recorded completely from scratch in 1959 with the same script. So that's what I'm bringing you tonight. This is not the one from 1952, though it's the same script that it would be on in 1952. It is from 1959. And what's nice in this instance, it has the commercials. I think they're the original commercials that are within this program, so you get a chance to hear those commercials, which is kind of fun. And then after that, we have the Six Shooter. And for some of you, you might be getting tired of the story of Ben Schofield. It is the original, audition show for the Six Shooter. It is also, originally, it was on the Hollywood Playhouse that the Six Shooter made its debut just a few weeks before Gunsmoke with Jimmy Stewart. And then a year and a half later, they decided to try it as a series. They used it, like I say, as the audition show, and the public never heard that. And then on the seventh episode of the series, they decided to go ahead and use it again. So the audience heard this twice, but with a year and a half in between the two, and how many people listen to Hollywood Playhouse Theater and then also listen to The Six Shooter, I don't know. So I would think most people heard this once. Now for you folks, in the last couple months I've played it, this is the third time, but each time it's a little different, so I thought I would go ahead and play it again. But I will not be presenting this to you again this season, so don't worry about that. But it's still a fun episode. It has William Conrad in it. One of the best episodes in the series, so I can definitely see why they redid it three times. Anyway, without further ado, here are two interesting episodes of Gunsmoke and the Six Shooter, each for their own individual reasons. Enjoy.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. Story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
You need lots of dollars for an accident. You need the kind of protection that only Mutual of Omaha sells. What do you need?
You need health insurance that offers you maximum benefits at minimum cost. Mutual of Omaha Income Protection Insurance with the unusual lifetime benefits feature. Add this long-term protection to your group coverage and save up to 54%, depending on your age and type of group coverage.
Here's what you need.
You need to get the most for your health insurance dollar by insuring with Mutual Benefit Health and Accident Association. For maximum benefits at minimum cost, call your local Mutual of Omaha agent in the Yellow Pages or write Mutual of Omaha, Omaha, Nebraska.
Write for details on the low-cost, practical protection you need. You can save up to 54% when you add Mutual of Omaha protection to your group coverage. Write Mutual of Omaha, Omaha, Nebraska.
Mr. Dillon? Mr. Dillon.
Take it easy, Chester.
But there's been a train robbery, Mr. Dillon, what? About 5 miles east. They held up the baggage clerk and got away with $50,000 in double eagles.
Well, when did you hear about it?
Just now, when number 7 pulled into the station. You've got to get over there right away.
And I guess they'll wait. Dodge City's the end of the line.
Well, yes, sir, I know.
Anybody
that.
Anybody say how many were in on it?
3, according to the clerk, all wearing masks. They snuck aboard when the train stopped for water, Cottonwood tanks. Made them cut the rest of the train loose and go on with just the engine and the baggage car. Had horses waiting down the track somewhere. You ought to get over at the depot, Mr. Dillon. The baggage clerk shot pretty bad.
Shot? Now, why didn't you say
so? And another thing. They cut the wire so the train crew couldn't telegraph ahead. Same old story, Mr. Dillon. You'd think them bandits would figure out some new way.
Why? This one usually works.
I said to keep that mob out of this baggage car.
They're out, Doc.
Huh? Well, who are you?
Oh, I didn't know it was you, Mac.
How is he?
He caught one through the lung. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for
that. I want to find out where it happened.
I can tell you exactly, Marshal.
How?
About 100 yards east of milepost 314. It's on the curve where the line swings in toward the river bottom.
You one of the passengers?
Oh, I'm a legal agent for the railroad and for the bank that owns that money. My name is Crocker, J.L. Crocker. And I want immediate action on this matter. I want that money back at once. And I want the guilty parties brought to justice.
Are you getting all this, Chester?
Yes, sir. I'm making mental notes.
Well, now, Marshal, I don't believe you quite understand who I am.
Sure, you're the legal something or other for somebody, and you're bothering me. Now, will you stand back? Doc, is there any chance of talking to him?
Well, you can try.
All right. Mister, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Did you recognize any of them?
No. Wore masks. Only one said anything. Gave all the orders. He's the one who shot me. Man, about 50.
Is that all you can tell me?
I don't feel so good, Marshal. I think I... That's it, man.
Yeah. Chester.
Yes, sir.
Go get our horses saddled up. We'll ride out to milepost 314. With luck, we can get there before dark. Maybe pick up their trail some way.
Aren't you?
Well, no, Marshal, in my opinion, you ought to form a posse to go after these criminals.
Mr. Crocker, I don't care about your opinions.
I think I'll have a little talk with your superiors when I get back to civilization.
Good. Find out what's happened to my checks. I haven't been paid for 2 months.
The following message is brought to you by the Savings and Loan Foundation.
Where you save
does make a difference.
Where you save
does make a difference.
Where you save
does make a difference. Save more, have more,
and more
at Savings and Loan.
Yes, your dollars get good earnings at insured savings and loan associations. People like you are receiving over $700 million right now. It's money their money has earned. You can do it too.
Where you save does make a difference.
Join the millions of thrifty people who make a profit on their savings at Insured Savings and Loan Association. Now's the time to start an account or add to the one you have at your nearby Insured Savings and Loan.
Remember,
where you save
does make a difference.
Where you save
does make a difference.
Where you save
does make a difference. Save more, have more,
earn more
at Savings and Loan.
Chester, pull up a second.
Yes, sir. Reckon they've heard us yet?
And they don't show it. Both of them are still working around the campfire, paying no attention. Fixing supper, I guess. A man and a young boy.
Must be homesteaders on the move. I never heard of bandits hightailing it in a covered wagon. Besides, there's only two of them. Three men held up the train.
Yeah, I know. Now let's ride on down to the fire.
Well, now, howdy, strangers.
Evening.
Climb down and sit. You have some supper ready here in a spell, such as it is. Keep your eye on that coffee, Jerry.
I'm watching it, Pa.
You men pushing cattle?
No, hunting killers.
What?
Had a train robbery this morning. Now, I'm a U.S. Marshal out of Dodge. My name's Dillon.
Proud to know you, Marshal Dillon. I'm Dan Everly. This is my boy, Jerry.
How are you, sir?
Jerry, how are you?
Well, we're heading for Dodge ourselves. How far we got to go yet?
About 9 miles. You planted a homestead?
That's right. Had a place back at Newton, but it didn't do so good. So, somebody robbed a train.
Mm-hmm. Three of them. Got away with $50,000 in gold. Have you met anybody today?
No, nary a soul. Now, Marshal, you just rest yourself there now, and we'll have some side meet in Harmony in a few minutes.
Oh, fine, thanks. This is it, Chester. We found them.
These two? How do you figure?
They're horses. Saddle stock, never meant to haul a wagon. And the third one's over to the right in that thicket covering us. Saw a glint on his gun barrel.
What do we do?
Move fast. You roll to the left, draw, and cover the two by the fire, and I'll take the one in the brush. You got it?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Now.
Don't move, you two. You're covered.
You lower in the brush. Come out with your hands up.
Now, wait, Marshal. Don't shoot.
All right, then. Tell him to get out here with his hands up.
They got us. There's no use fighting. Come out, like he says.
Why didn't you let me fight, Pa? I could have shot them both.
Oh, fellas.
It's a girl.
So it is.
With my daughter, Janet, I told her to hide out there till we found out what she wanted. I wanted to keep her out of this.
So you and your two kids were the bandits, huh? Now you're quite a father, Mr. Everly.
You leave him alone. Pa knew what he was doing. He had a right to that money.
I see. How old are you, Janet?
18. It's any of your business.
The young uns ain't to blame, Marshal. I brought them up to do like I told them. They didn't know.
Somebody ought to have known. Now, where's the money?
Don't tell him.
Be quiet, Janet. Marshal, we buried that money, and I reckon I'm not going to tell you where it is.
It's ours, and we got a right to it.
Yeah, you said that before.
I had a homestead outside of Newton. My wife died there. The young'uns and me fought the prairie for 4 years. Crop failures, hard times. Then last fall, I finally got a good stand of wheat ripe for the harvest. You know what happened?
Oh, what happened?
Sparks from a train set fire to the grain field, burned us out, lost everything. I wrote letters to the railroad office in St. Louis. They said I'd have to come back there and prove my claim. Now, they knew I couldn't do that.
Well, did anybody ever tell you things were easy out here in the West, Mr. Everly? Chester, you and the boy hitch up that wagon and start loading it.
All right, sir. Come on, son.
What are you aiming to do with it?
Take him to Dodge City. To jail.
It happened in Death Valley in the blazing desert sun. No others dared to do it, so there could be only one. just one that passed the killing grind of sun and wind and sand. The test that proved this new car wax the finest in the land. Turtle wax, turtle wax, turtle wax.
Reader's Digest ad tells the story of the amazing Turtle Wax protective power that kept cars' colors shining bright even in fiery Death Valley sun. Just one waxing of Turtle Wax with new Sun Stop gives your car a beautiful hard shell finish guaranteed to last up to one full year. It's quick and easy to Turtle Wax your car yourself. Remember, just one waxing of Turtle Wax with Sun Stop lasts up to one full year.
Turtle Wax gives a hard shell finish. Turtle Wax gives a hard shell finish. Turtle Wax.
All right, pull up, Everly.
Oh, boy.
All of you get on.
I guess my reasons for robbing that train don't count for much, do they, Marshal?
Judging's not part of my job, Everly.
But not the young uns. It wasn't their fault.
You killed a man, Everly. What do you expect?
Marshal, I didn't aim to kill him. He went for his gun as we was leaving, but I didn't aim to kill him.
Well, Marshal, I see you brought in the culprits.
Yeah, it looks that way, Mr. Crocker.
Oh, where's the money? I want to get it locked up in the bank right away.
They say they buried it.
They've... What?
Matt! Matt, are you all right? I heard of the saloon that you brought in the bandits.
That's right.
Is she one of them? That girl?
Yeah.
Well, she's just a kid, Matt. You're not going to lock up a girl.
Kitty, I don't like the idea any better than you do.
That jail wasn't built for women.
I know that.
Matt, let me take her.
What?
She won't try to get away with the others in jail. She can stay in my rooms while I'm working. I'll take care of her, Matt.
Janet, you go with Kitty here.
Yes, sir.
Stay with her and do whatever she says.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks a lot. Come on, honey.
Chester, you take these other two inside and lock them up.
Yes, sir. Come on. Let's go.
Now, Marshal, pretty or not, that girl is a criminal. Why aren't you locking her up?
Well, we've got a different attitude toward women out here, Mr. Crocker. We never got around to building jails for them.
Well, what about the money? $50,000 missing.
That's right, it is.
Oh. It's a long ride into town, wasn't it, Marshal? Moonlight, pretty girl in a wagon, chance to talk. Maybe
why,
do a little...
You... you there.
Yes, sir.
Drag him over there to the water trough and stick his head under the pump.
Now, here's a lilting little tune sung by a group that really knows how to keep you looking your best dressed best.
There's a difference, see the difference with Stainu.
Stainu. The quality finishing. Offered only by quality dry cleaners from coast to coast. Stainu costs nothing extra. Restores the like new look to all your clothes. Makes them soil and wrinkle resistant. Brings back original store fresh texture, sparkling color, and cashmere-like feel. Stainu dry cleaners are listed in the yellow pages under the Stainu trademark. Why don't you send your next dry cleaning order to your nearest Stainu dry cleaners? All dry cleaners don't have Stainu, only the best do.
You can feel the difference, with Stainu.
You and Kitty getting along, Janet?
Oh, just fine. She's been wonderful.
The noise downstairs bother you? Keep you awake at night?
No. No, the only thing that keeps me awake is worrying about Pa and Jerry. What are you going to do with this?
And I got no say about that. There's no proper court here. I'll probably get orders to send you up to Hayes City for trial.
Oh, they won't understand. Maybe Pa was wrong. I guess he was, but he thought he was doing right.
Sure, we all think that.
He was doing it for us, for Jerry and me. And he didn't mean to kill that man, Marshal. Really, he didn't.
Well, I better be going now.
Sure.
Goodbye, Janet. She's quite taken with you, Kitty.
Stores around town say you're a little taken with her, Matt.
That's Mr. Crocker's doing. He's been shooting his mouth off for a week now.
He's offered $1,000 reward for the return of that money, no questions asked.
Yeah, I know.
But how much do you know?
What do you mean?
Well, people will know you don't pay any attention, Matt, but some of these hangers-on around the saloon wonder if you did make a deal for that money.
Who cares what they think?
But it's bad, Matt. Crocker keeps prodding them. Some of them are beginning to say that Everly might remember where the money is if they had ropes around their necks.
Well, lynch mob, huh? Uh-huh. Yeah, they're going to have to move fast. I got orders about an hour ago to send the three up to Hayes City in the morning.
Oh, Matt. Does she know about it?
No. I just didn't have the heart to tell her.
Mr. Dillon.
What's the matter, Chester?
Miss Kitty sent me to get you.
Oh?
That fella Crocker's over at the Long Branch. He's got a bunch of the boys all liquored up. They're talking about crashing the jail.
Well, usually the best way to stop that kind of trouble is to break it up before it starts.
Well, that girl's just upstairs right over the head, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I know. They hadn't bothered her, had they, Chester?
Well, they hadn't when I left.
Yeah. All right, you let me handle it. You stay clear and cover my back.
Yes, sir, I will.
All right, come on.
A deal like that ought to be run out of town. And you're just the boys to do it. Now, it's about time somebody took the star off of that tin horn marshal and shoved it down his throat. And as far as I'm concerned, I...
Go on, Mr. Crocker. You're doing real fine. There's quite a crew you picked up. All the bums, barflies, swindlers, and bushwhackers in Dodge City. Well, your friends don't seem to be as talkative as they were a couple of minutes ago, Mr. Crocker.
Dillon, if I had you in St. Louis for 1 hour, you'd be in jail, not running.
All right, boys, the party's over. Now move on.
Now, you got no right to order those men around, Dillon.
I don't hear any of them objecting.
Matt, she's gone.
What?
Janet's not in the room. She's gone.
Well, where would she go?
I can tell you, Matt. You've had a jailbreak. That girl got her dad and brother out, and they just left town on their horses.
Have you ever heard of K-Site Smooth Seal?
Why, no.
Is it new? What's it do?
Well, this is off the record. Just between us boys, your automatic transmission, does it ever make a noise?
You mean a little kind of grinding?
Does that little chatter matter?
I hear a very weird whir sometimes.
It doesn't sound good, boys, but let's be sure. When you're sitting at the light and it goes to green, you put your foot down hard. Have you ever felt a sort of a jerk, a kind of a jar, or heaven help you, a real thud bump?
Oh, I've felt it.
Me too.
I've had it, stranger. What do we do?
Well, don't buy a horse and don't trade your car. Just get yourself some new K-Site Smooth Seal.
New K-Site Smooth Seal?
New K-Site Smooth Seal?
New K-Site Smooth Seal? How will that help?
Why, it's made to soften those shrunken seals, which are apt to leak when there's power on the wheels. It stops those thud bumps, jerks, and jars that are apt to creep into these modern cars. What is K-Site Smooth Seal in one application can pack them all off on a long vacation, and it's less than $2 at your service station. A little new K-Site Smooth Seal, boy?
Come on.
Well, I'll go.
And if it doesn't work,
you get double your money back.
We're getting pretty close to the place where they camped that night.
It's right ahead of us there, Chester.
Sure do hope that cussed storm holds off. First, you know, they may not have came back here at all.
Well, then we'll backtrack to Cottonwood Tanks. They'll want that gold. It's got to be somewhere between here and the railroad.
Yonder's where the wagon was standing.
Yeah. All right, pull up, Chester. Let's take a look around.
Mr. Dillon, look there.
Huh?
A hole dug in the ground, right where they had the campfire that night.
Yeah. Well, they buried the gold there, Chester, and built their fire right on top of it. Get out! It came from that thicket over there. I'm going to fire and roll away, maybe draw a shot. Now, you keep your eyes open.
Yes, sir, I will. It came from the left of that big tree off there.
Yeah, I saw it.
You got him.
Yeah. Come on, Chester. Everly. Now, you're covered, Everly. One move and you're finished.
I'm finished anyway.
I'm sorry I had to do it.
No matter. Worth the young'uns to have a chance.
They rode on with the money, I suppose.
Let them go, Marshal. It's their money. I had a right.
Maybe, but you had no right to kill.
I didn't. Aim to, Marshal.
The law has to go by acts, Everly, not intentions.
Storm coming up?
Yeah, it looks that way.
Hope the young'uns find shelter. Jerry caught cold there in jail. Used to worry his mother when he coughed. So she's dead now. Died back there. Back. Mm-hmm.
Guess he paid for it, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, he paid. Well, let's try to pick up the trail of the other two before that storm.
What is it?
Horses. A couple of horses coming in fast. All right, hold it!
It's all right, Marshal Wade, Arn.
Pa, where is he? We heard the shooting and turned around and rode back.
You better get off your horses, both of you.
What happened to... Oh.
I'm sorry, Janet.
I knew when he made us ride on ahead that we'd never see him again. Alive.
You kids carrying the money?
It's there in my saddlebags.
Get it, will you, Chester?
Yes, Mr. Dillon.
He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was doing it for us.
I know, but he was wrong. And now there's the two of you to decide about.
Here's your money, Mr. Dillon.
Chester, count out $1,000.
Yes, sir.
You know, technically, I guess I ought to take you back to Dodge. But I figure everybody's got certain rights. And it's my job to try to keep all those rights sorted out and evened up. All I can do is call them the way I see them. Chester,
yes, sir.
Give them $1,000.
There you are.
But I don't understand.
Crocker offered $1,000 and no questions asked for the return of his money. Well, you returned it. And there's the reward.
Yes, but I...
Now, if you ride north and keep bearing west, you'll eventually hit Wyoming. I hear it's fine country. Plenty of rangeland, homesteads. The two of you ought to do all right. And Jerry.
Yes, sir?
You take care of her.
Yes, sir, I will, Mr. Dillon.
I understand what you're doing for us, and I...
Now, go on, you two. Get out of here before I think it over and change my mind. Now, go on. Ride.
Thank you, Marshal. Thanks.
Go on.
Goodbye, Mr. Dillon. And
thank... Go on. Get out of here.
You better get a move on, Mr. Dillon. It's starting to rain.
I hope they find shelter somewhere.
Mr. Dillon, it's starting to rain, Mr. Dillon. You better get a move on. Mr. Dillon?
Mr. Service manager. Tell you about Guardian Maintenance? Well, sure, I'll be glad to. Guardian Maintenance is a kind of specialized service your General Motors car gets at a GM dealer's like ours. Yeah. Now, it makes good sense, doesn't it, that our mechanics know your GM car best? You see, they specialize in one make a car. And what's more, they've got the right tools and factory-approved parts, too. Yes, sir. That holds true for every Chevy, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, Cadillac, and GMC truck. It's the best kind of service for the best kind of cars. And all GM dealers are offering performance service specials right now. Uh-huh. Includes engine tune-up, tire rotation, a front-end adjustment, a wheel check, and a complete, and I mean complete, lubrication. Makes for a worry-free vacation, I'll tell you. Huh? Yeah, good. Good. We'll be looking for you. Bye.
Gunsmoke. Produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Barbara Eiler, Sam Edwards, and Bart Robinson. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This is George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week for another story on Gunsmoke. This is the CBS Radio Network.
The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle, unmarked. People call them both the six-shooter. James Stewart as the six-shooter. A transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
Rain had stopped, but the wind still carried slivers of moisture that cut into the boy's face as he rode along the edge of the creek. When he saw the yellow light from the back of the office, he pulled up and slid out of the saddle. Then tied a wet bandana under his eyes and walked slowly, quietly to the door.
All right. Put them up over your heads. Reach.
What's that?
Way up, both of you. Stay away from that shotgun.
Now, look here, young fella.
You, get over to the safe. Better hurry it up, mister. Open it. I said open it. That's better. Now toss me that sack. Okay. Don't try to follow. Thanks a lot.
Hey, you dirty young... I'll show you... Oh. Rotten little...
I hadn't figured on going through Clay City. It was an hour out of my way, and I was already a day late to the Jefferson Ranch where I'd signed up for the roundup, but Scar started limping from a loose shoe, and I didn't have much choice. So we had to head to the nearest blacksmith shop, so we turned north.
Mister, what's trouble?
Well, the horse is losing a shoe here.
Well, let's have a look.
Raise it up, fella. Come on. Come on, boy. Yeah, that's split, mister. It needs a new one. Okay, boy.
Can you take care of it, you think?
Sure. Bring him over here.
Say, what happened to Red, fella used to own this shop?
Oh, he went to Nevada chasing silver. I bought him out a few months ago.
Is that so? Ah. You know, you don't look very much like a blacksmith.
I'm stronger than I look. Heavier, too. Yes, sir. Well, what do you think I weigh, mister?
Oh, I don't know.
Why don't you take a guess? Say, 120? 30?
Oh, well, not more than that, I wouldn't say.
You a betting man, mister?
Sometimes, yeah.
All right. I say I weigh over 130. And if I don't, you get the new shoe for nothing. But if I do, you pay me double. What do you say?
Well, now, you got a set of scales?
Don't need no scales. What do you say, mister? Is it a bet?
Don't seem to be no way of proving it, though.
No, all you got to do is lift me up. You look like a man who can judge weight. What do you say?
Okay. All right, it's a bet.
All right, mister, just heist me. If you don't think I weigh more than 130, the shoe is free. Come on, heist me up.
I haven't ever tried to judge man's weight before, but... here we go. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be doggone.
Yes, sir. I'm packed solid, mister. Real solid.
Well, you're packed tighter than a stair. You must weigh 150.
You see? What'd I tell you? 158. Horseshoe's gonna cost you money, mister. But you ain't the only one. Ever since I bought the shop, there ain't been a stranger come through Clay City but what he paid double for his first horseshoe. You ain't sore, mister.
Oh, no, I'm not. That's a fair bet.
Sure it was. I told you I was heavier than I look. That's what folks call me, Heavy Norton. My real name's George, but everybody calls me Heavy. What's your name, mister?
Ponsett, Britt Ponsett.
Fellow they call a six-shooter? Well, doggone it, I've heard about you, mister. I sure heard about you.
Well, I...
Sure have. Would have recognized you, too, if I'd have noticed your gun. Sure is fancy, ain't it? Say, do you mind showing it to me?
No. Here, catch it.
Well, that's real fancy. Just like Sheriff Schofield said. And you know something? He says he's seen you fire six shots with it while Whitey Jackson was getting off his first bullet. That time down at Eagle.
Yeah, well, the sheriff kind of likes to build up a story, you know.
Well, he swears it's the truth. Well, here's your gun, Mr. Ponsett. Thanks.
Sure.
You was mighty quick in getting into Clay City. How'd you hear about it so fast?
Hear about what?
Why, the holdup at the Fargo station last night. Ain't that why you come?
No, I was heading past town and turned off because Scar got a loose shoe.
Well, now, ain't that a coincidence? Fellow holds up the Fargo office, kills one man, maybe two, gets away with $5,000, and 12 hours later, you ride into town.
You got any idea who did it?
No, sir, not a single solitary one from what I hear. Like I say, the deputy agent was dead when they found him. Other fella, Fred Wilmer, a friend of his, got shot up pretty bad. Ain't done no talking yet. Doc says maybe he never will.
I see. Well, does Sheriff Schofield take out a posse?
Nope, ain't nobody to go. Most of the men signed up for the Jefferson Roundup. Left town day before yesterday. Hear the Jefferson Ranch playing good money this year.
Mm-hmm. You seen the sheriff this morning?
No, not lately. He might be over to his office. You could try there.
Yeah, I think I'll walk down there while you're fixing up Scar.
Sure, Mr. Ponsett. It's a darn good idea. Sheriff Schofield will be real glad to see you.
A couple of doors this side of the sheriff's office, I saw the Wells Fargo sign nailed up next to the window. Place wasn't locked, so I went inside. One of the chairs was upset, and there were some damp stains on the floor. A cast iron safe against the wall was standing wide open, so I kicked it shut. And then I went out in the back stoop. There was some more blood on the steps, and then just red mud. Right at the edge, I saw the hoof prints. They trailed off to the side of the creek, and whoever made them had headed west. I let one knee down into the mud and looked at the prints real close. The horse had been wearing one shoe different from the other three. A sharp rock must have cut into it somewhere or another. Not enough to split it, but just enough so that the print left a sort of a jagged line, like a fancy handwriting. Huh.
You find something, Britt?
Huh? Oh. Oh, hello, Sheriff. Oh, I was just heading out your way.
Yeah, I just saw Heavy. He told me he was in town. Did you find something?
I don't know. Did you see these hoof prints?
Yeah.
Well,
don't mean nothing. Trail gives out a mile or so down the creek at the fork.
Uh-huh. Has Clay City had any other trouble lately, Ed?
No, not a bit. I guess any town's got to expect a hold up once in a while.
Well, I heard it was more than that.
Yeah, that's right.
Fred Wilmer able to talk yet?
I'm afraid not. Doc said he'd let me know the first time he come around. Took him out to his ranch on the other side of town.
You've been out to see him since last night?
There wasn't no reason.
Well, it might good be a good idea to be there just in case.
I thought maybe I ought to stick in town.
Well, it don't look like anything more is going to happen here. Why don't I'll get Scar and meet you out at Fred's place, huh?
I can handle this alone, Britt.
Well, sure, I was just offering to keep you company, Ed.
I'll meet you there.
Well, he's all fixed up, Mr. Ponsett. Tied him up around the side so he'd be in the shade.
Well, thanks very much.
Mighty fine horse you got there, too. You find Sheriff Schofield? I told him you was in town.
Yeah, I found him.
Figure out anything?
No, not so far.
You will. Sheriff's a good man. You and him together, you'll get whoever done it.
Maybe. Say, you're the only blacksmith around here, aren't you, Heavy?
Yeah, only one for 40 miles, yes, sir.
Did you ever see a horse with a shoe that's got one jagged edge, left hind leg?
A lot of shoes got jagged edges, Mr. Ponson.
Yeah, I know, but Now, let's see here. I'll try to show you what I mean. I'm not much of an artist, but it looks something like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like that.
Yeah. Seems to me I did see a shoe like that just the other day. Well, sure. I remember. Told him he ought to get a new one for it. Ben Schofield, that's who it was just the other day.
Ben?
That's right, Sheriff's kid. You know him, don't you, Mr. Ponson?
Sure. Why, I haven't seen Ben for a couple of years, though.
Well, sir, you wouldn't recognize him if you saw him now. That boy just sort of growed up overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he has.
Of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponson.
It wasn't much of a ride, and Sheriff Schofield was sitting on Fred Wilmer's porch swing when I got there. He told me Doc was inside with Fred, so I squatted down on the stoop and waited. About half an hour later, Doc came out and told us we could go inside and see Fred. Fred was lying on a cot, breathing hard. The white cloth across his chest was stained pink, and his voice sounded like it was full of air.
We was just sitting talking, Sam and me. Didn't hear the back door open. Must have left it unlocked. Turned around, and there he was, holding his gun on us.
Did you get a look at him, Fred?
Sure, but it didn't do much good. Handkerchief over his face. Couldn't see nothing, just the gun. Told Sam to open the safe. Wasn't nothing else Sam could do.
Sure.
Took the money, walked over to the door.
Yeah?
looked at us for a minute and then fired. Didn't have no reason. Hit Sam in the face, hit me in the chest. Didn't have no reason.
Now, take it easy, Fred.
It's just like he enjoyed shooting at us. That's how it was, like he enjoyed it.
Maybe he was scared.
He wasn't scared. He didn't have no reason. Thought he'd killed us both. Started down the steps. I got my hand on the shotgun and I let him have it.
You hit him?
I don't know, maybe. He gave me yell and rode off.
You go out back after him?
I couldn't go nowhere, Brett.
What kind of a fellow was he? Young, old?
I couldn't see his face. He's a young fellow, I'd say, though.
How young?
Oh, 17, 18. He was full grown.
You sure?
He sounded young. He moved young.
Tall, short?
Medium. About the size of your kid, Ed. About that size.
Got enough for you, Ed?
Yeah. Yeah, that's enough.
You think you can get him, Brent?
Sure, Fred. Sure. Sure, we'll get him. Come on, Ed.
Didn't have no reason to shoot. No reason.
Let's go, Ed.
We're wasting our time, Brett. He's got a day's head start. He'd be 40 miles from here.
Not if he's shot up.
Well, you go on if you want to.
Well, you're the sheriff. You've got to make the arrest.
You ain't never been so particular before.
Maybe not. Maybe not. This time I am particular. You coming?
We don't even know where to start.
Well, I thought along the creek. It's as good a place as any other.
It's a waste of time, Brett.
We picked up the trail along the creek and headed west. Wasn't hard to follow. Every once in a while, we'd see a few drops of blood spattered against the bushes. About 10 minutes later, we came to the fork where Ed said the trail gave out. Scar stuck his nose down into the water, and I looked around. The trail didn't give out. It turned south. I nodded in that direction. Ed didn't say anything. He just followed. Then about 5 o'clock, we stopped to eat. Ed built a fire, and I opened up a couple of cans of beans I had in my roll. What, you're not hungry, Ed?
It's early for suppers. Too early.
Yeah. Yeah. Ed, I talked to Heavy before I went out to Fred's place. I asked him who had a horse that would leave a mark like the one we've been following.
So?
He said that Ben did. Your son, Ben. I thought you ought to know that.
A lot of horseshoes leave the same kind of mark.
Fred said it was a young fellow.
It wasn't Ben.
Where is he, Ed?
He's the Jefferson Ranch. He's working on a roundup. He left Clay City day before yesterday. It couldn't have been Ben. There's a lot of wild youngsters in these parts, but Ben's a good boy. It couldn't be him.
You sure?
Now, that mark don't mean nothing. Plenty of horseshoes leave the same kind of mark. You know that, Britt.
You had enough to eat?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. The moon came out, thin, yellow. Not real bright, but enough so we could follow the trail. For about 3 miles, there wasn't any blood sign. He must have wrapped something around the wound, wrapped it real tight, and then we found the bandage. A piece of shirt tail sopped through. For the next mile, he'd been bleeding a lot, much worse than before. He was hurt pretty bad, Ed.
Yeah, looks like it.
He couldn't have gone much further, could he? Hold up, Scar. Ed.
Yeah?
Pull up. Pull over here. Look. Over there in the gully, that cabin.
Yeah.
Whose is it?
I used to belong to Jake Levante. Died a couple of years ago. Ain't nobody living there now.
There's somebody living there.
What?
Out back. There's a pony. We'd better go on foot.
Britt?
Yeah?
We're gonna take him alive, ain't we?
If we can.
We gotta take him alive, Britt.
It's Ben, isn't it?
I don't know, not for sure.
It could be Ben?
Yeah, it could be.
Where's he been the last couple of days?
I don't know that either. I had an argument with him two nights ago. He needed some money. He'd been playing poker. He lost a lot.
Now, the $5,000 that was taken out of that safe is a lot, you know.
I wouldn't give him none. He got mad. He said he'd get it. Said he'd get it himself. And I hit him. I hit him hard across the face. Hit him twice. He started to hit me back, and then he walked out of the house, and I ain't seen him since. I wish he had hit me back.
Now, we've got to get across this clearing, Ed. Over to that clump of trees.
Well, he may see us.
We'll have to take that chance. You ready?
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah, sure.
We'll stay in these trees for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll rush him. It's not going to be easy to take him, Ed, now that he's spotted us.
Britt, you ain't going to kill him.
I'm not going to let him kill me.
It ain't his fault, Britt. It's mine.
You know that's not so.
No, it's the truth. It's my fault. I broke him. I broke him like you break a wild horse. Tried to take all the fight out of him fast. You know what happens when you do that to a horse? He gets tame, but the fight's still there, and someday he turns wild again. He ain't really broke at all.
I'm going to rush him alone, Ed.
No, stay here.
Sam Norton's dead. Maybe Fred Wilmer, too, by now.
Killing Ben won't bring him back. He's my son, Britt.
I'm sorry, Ed.
No, we're going back to town.
Not without him.
We're going back. Now, you can outdraw me, Britt, but I'll still have time to get a shot off.
I'll try to get him alive, Ed. I'll try.
No, don't turn your back on me, Britt. Don't be a fool. Don't make me do it, Britt.
I knew he wouldn't shoot. I wasn't being brave, but I knew he wouldn't shoot. A man like Ed Schofield just don't change overnight. You can figure a man like Ed. But I hadn't figured on what happened next.
Ben! It's me, Ben, your dad! Can you hear me, Ben? Brett Ponce is coming after you! Throw out your gun, Ben! Brett Ponce is coming! No! Listen to me, Ben!
I saw him go down real slow, like his legs had buckled under him. I pushed myself past a couple of rocks and edged over toward the back door. The kid was in the kitchen. I couldn't see him, but I could hear him moving around, going from window to window, looking out, waiting for me. I slid past another rock. I could run for the door now or wait. The kid made up my mind for me. He knew right where I was. I took out my gun and waited. I knew he'd get nervous first. Young fellas always do. I wasn't so young. I could wait. He started for his horse. I aimed at his leg. For a second, he just stopped moving, just hung there in midair like a hawk. Then he sprawled forward out of sight behind a log. Everything was quiet now, even his pony. And then the moon went behind a thick cloud, and I came around the corner of the cabin. And then suddenly the moon came out again, and just in time for me to see his .45 coming up over the top of the log. His revolver slipped out of his fingers, and I saw him try to reach for it, but he couldn't make it. I stood up and I walked over to the log. I turned him over with my foot and I looked at his face.
Ed? Ed?
Over here.
Where'd he get you?
The shoulder. But I'll be all right. Izzy, did you have to... Britt?
No, he's not dead.
Oh, thanks. I guess he didn't hear me calling to him, didn't know who I was.
It isn't Ben.
What?
It isn't Ben, Ed.
You sure, Britt?
Yeah. This kid's got red hair.
There ain't no reason to lie to me, Britt. I ain't shot up bad.
I'm not lying, Ed. I knew it wasn't Ben. While I was going up there after him, I knew it.
What are you talking about?
Oh, it just came to me. I don't know. A man don't change overnight, and neither does a boy.
Well, if it ain't Ben, it's...
Oh, there's a lot of tough kids in these parts. You said so yourself.
Where do you suppose Ben is?
Where you said he is. Jefferson Ranch, working on the roundup. The pay's good. Boy, don't change overnight, Ed.
Yeah.
You able to ride back to town?
Yeah, sure. I may have to take it a little slow.
Sure, fine. We'll take it slow.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get the kid.
Britt?
Yeah?
You know something, Britt? I couldn't believe it was Ben neither. Not when he shot me. I just couldn't believe it. You know that, Britt?
I know. Sure, I know, Ed.